Happy post-Thanksgiving. Who had a turkey omelet for breakfast? All right, let's sing and get ready to worship God together this morning.
Team for your song and ministry. Good morning, Aldersgate Church. We gather in the name of Jesus and always in the power and love of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Carl, it's great to see you. I was just this morning at 8 o'clock. I'm thinking I haven't touched base with Carl in a couple weeks, wondering how you're doing. So it's good to see you. We pray God's continued healing upon you. As we gather today, if you're a guest among us, we want to offer a word of special welcome to you, invite you to complete, I think it's a yellow communication card in the worship folder, that we might just follow up and celebrate your presence among us. This is Christ the King Sunday. This is the final Sunday of the Christian church year. And next Saturday night is New Year's Eve because we begin Advent season, the four-week run-up to Christmas. So this is the final week of the year. So if you have a New Year's Eve party Saturday night, let me know. Maybe I'll come out to it. So. As we gather today, I want to note that the angel tree just outside the door to the right, the main door here to the right, has 50 new tags on. All our other tags were pretty much taken off. There have been 50 additional tags placed there from the Allison Hill Children's Ministry. For several years, we had a really tight relationship, unique cooperative relationship there. That season of ministry sort of moved to a different place now. But we had 50 tags placed on there through our youth ministry connection. And if you are able to share some of your resources, that one or a couple of the kids at Allison Hill can benefit from that this Christmas, you take a tag. I think the back portion goes in the little tag box so they can track that it's been taken. You can take the other one and make that Christmas gift acquisition and bring it back. So won't you rise as able? And on the front page of our worship folder, we have an opening scripture I'd like us to read together as we worship God today. The scripture is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And I invite you to join me in proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as You choose. Here am I. Myself and I will be ever on Thee. myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Christ is King, that means that we simply follow and that you're the leaders. We become your children, and you just show us the way. Let us live in that today, put that into our hearts, that Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do that, to be led by you, to follow you, to follow you and not the world. Makes for a better life, for a better human, for better all that we are. Let us hear the message today. Let us hear the music. Let it work in us to go out then and do the things that you ask us to do as our King. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We have one prayer shawl on the altar. If you feel so compelled, please come up and pray for Sherry, who is recovering at home from a recent health issue. Mm-hmm.
bow to you, to no other God but you alone. Lord, I will worship you. Nothing hands have made but you alone. I will lay down my idols, thrones I have made, all that has taken my heart. Lord, I will bow to you, to no other God but you. Nothing hands have made but you alone. I will lay down my idols and thrones I have made, all that has taken my heart. Lord, I will bow to you, to no other God but you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in these moments, we thank you for your benevolence, your grace, your love that we cannot earn and don't deserve, that it's just poured out in Jesus, covered in the cross and washes our sins away. For your presence in the Holy Spirit that's with us now to intimately know all of our thoughts, our concerns, our joys, and to call us and complete us as you send us in the world to be your agents. Lord, you know, as that great Gregorian monk prayer says, all hearts are open to you, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hidden. You know everything that's going on in us right now. You know the heavy burdens, you know the fear and the anxiety, you know the uncertainty, whether it's relational issues or work issues or health issues, whether there's things going on in our family, whether we're concerned as citizens of this nation, as people of your world, Lord, you know it all. So we pray right now and throughout the service that you would impart your peace to us. Help us to know that we don't go anywhere that we're away from you and that your love never fails. Help us to see your hand at work, even and especially in the midst of difficult situations. And help us, Lord, on this Christ the King Sunday to look at Jesus in perhaps a different way or a new way, that he is a king that comes off the throne and from the throne room and comes to walk with us and live with us, Speak to us your holy direction, Lord, that we indeed might be people who trust and then obey your word and teaching for our lives. Lord, we thank you for the multitude of ministries at work through Aldersgate Church to reach your world. We ask your blessing upon the leadership here and the ministries, that each one would be a change agent in the lives of others. We pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ throughout the world, especially those who are in places where they have to worry about speaking the name of Jesus, that they can risk their job and their standing in the community and maybe even be ostracized by their family because they follow Christ. Lord, we pray that your strength and conviction would continue with them, that you would offer a safe presence for them, and that through their witness in persecution, you would encourage us to be more bold and less fearful of being a presence for Christ in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our everyday ordinary lives. We pray, Lord, a special blessing upon the prayer blanket that as Sherry is enveloped in it this week, that she will know that you have been present through the miracles of modern medicine to conduct her procedure and to lead her to returned health. Help her to know, Lord, that we lift her name up to you as your daughter, your child. And we pray all these things, as always, in the perfect name of your love poured out to us, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. We're blessed this morning to have a ministry moment from Kristen Gardner. Kristen and Christy Prow attended an Emmaus Women's Walk recently, and Kristen has come to share her testimony today.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. My husband went on the walk to Emmaus last spring. When he came back, he was moved beyond words. I had never seen him so touched. It seemed as if God literally embraced his heart. So needless to say, I had high hopes and was excited for my turn as he said, "You need to go to this." The summer came and it was a rough one as I battled through some depression and anxiety. After I got through it, I was struggling with my faith in God. I struggled because I thought I was doing everything that the Bible had told me to do. It was hard not to be angry and to feel like I needed some space to think, understand, and process everything. It was not that I didn't believe in God, it's just that I was still hurting and confused. The walk to Emmaus was right around the corner, and I was ready and excited to go. I guess I was anticipating to be moved to the ends of the earth like my husband was. But then I got there, and one of the first things they told us was, "Don't anticipate, just participate." It was a phrase we all said as the weekend went on. The first night was good, but nothing truly amazing happened. I went to bed and had a dream that the weekend was over already, and I was like, "That was it?" And I felt no different than I had in the beginning. I woke up and I thought, "I hope that dream doesn't come true." So I remembered what they told us the night before, that each day builds upon the other. Thursday would be good, Friday even better, Saturday better than Friday, and Sunday better than Saturday. And it was true. We heard a lot of testimonies, had daily communion and prayer, sang a lot of songs, and ate a lot of delicious meals. One of the things I enjoyed the most was the connection that was forming among us women. It was a bond that seemed to happen almost instantaneously. I could slowly feel my walls begin to come down, and I think that they were pretty high. The day came when I finally felt God move within me. We were having communion and had to give something away, a sin, of course. And that's when it started for me. The next day, we had the chance to pray with our table members, whom we had sat with all weekend. That was pretty powerful, too. The support of all the leaders and community members was amazing. They were either there in person or praying for us somewhere. There was even a prayer wheel that said who was praying for us at that hour of that day. And they were even praying in the middle of the night. Strangers, people who didn't even know us, were praying for us the whole time. As the weekend came to an end, I could feel a nudging for me to finally get rid of the baggage I was carrying. I had the opportunity to do that through journaling. After a couple of days of this, where I could finally put words to my emotions, was where I finally felt free of my burdens. If you are ever asked to go on this walk in the future, I encourage you to do so. It is truly amazing to feel so much love and support by people who don't even know you. Thank you.
If you have a stirring within you to investigate Emmaus walk experience, men's ministry or women's ministry, Tom Ziegler and Bill Brandon are the two contacts here in the congregation. Would you guys raise your hands where you are? You can check with them, or you can contact the office and we'll make that connection for you. And we are grateful for Kristen and her sharing this day. Let us offer for the ministries of Christ here and through the connection of God's church, God's tithes, and our offerings.
Your name be louder than any other.
There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God, be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. Be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. 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 The cross was enough.
Amen. As always, we're grateful for the praise team and for Kim's leadership this week. You may not know, you may be aware that Kim, when Kim leads and when Dan DeArmond lead, they aren't on staff. They're not compensated. They're doing that in addition to their other vocations, their callings. And they're here sacrificially Thursday evening. And they're here Thursday evening and then Sunday morning for three services. So we just affirm their gift and their blessings to us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we pause in these moments, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your presence in the Holy Spirit. Your scripture tells us that anytime we're gathered, you're there, and that your word never returns to you empty. So may your living word in Jesus speak to our hearts and minds. Comfort us where we need the comfort of our only perfect parent. Convict us where we need the accountability of Christ our King. Convert us where we need to be more surrendered to you, whether we've walked with you 1 minute or 70 years. Until our final breath, your conversion in us continues, that we might be completed to be an offering conveying Christ this week in whatever ministry, mission field you put us. Lord, your will be done. Amen. You probably noticed that we're having some computer issues this morning, hang-ups and glitches with things going on. And there is a video that I'll call up in a moment, but there's a pretty good chance that video is not going to play. Because it didn't play at 8 o'clock, and if it doesn't, we're just going to move right over. I noticed out of the corner of my eye it was actually playing a second ago. So, but anyway, I just put you on alert with that. We're blessed with modern technology, but when in our little God box of a sanctuary, when the modern technology doesn't work, we're sort of like fish out of water when we don't have lyrics and we don't have the tools that we thought we would have. So, but in the midst of it, Christ is still King. Amen. This is Christ the King Sunday, and too often in the life of the church, we just sort of pass by this. Typically, this is the Sunday after Thanksgiving and the Sunday before hunting season, right? But it's really Christ the King Sunday. It's the Sunday where the year of the Christian church comes to a conclusion and we get ready for New Year's, which is Advent, as we move toward the birth of Jesus. This is the day where we absolutely gather and declare without any doubt that He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And today He has a word for you and me about our kingdom citizenship. Jesus doesn't miss a trick in our book, in our lives. And this King comes off His throne and walks with us, and He talks with us. Maybe we ought to sing in the garden there too. He walks with me, He talks with me, He tells me I'm His own. But there's a bit of a hard message today of a final judgment and what God does in the midst of that. He is a king unlike any other king. He's a leader of a kingdom unlike any other leader. This Jesus doesn't need to look in the mirror to see how glorious He is. He doesn't need other people to tell Him how great He is for Him to believe it. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is sacrificial. He's benevolent. He gives us everything we need, from the breath of life to our salvation through the cross was enough. He's with us in the Holy Spirit, and He's with us for a purpose. He wants us to be in civics class today, church. This is a kingdom citizenry gathering for the people of Christ to inventory how we are doing as people of His kingdom. Over the next couple weeks, we'll be singing some songs familiar to many of you. And on Christ the King Sunday, as the scripture was working on me late in the week, these songs came to mind. And I'm wondering if you know them, if you might join me. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Ah, I gotcha. King. Christ the King Sunday. See, in a couple weeks, we're going to be singing about it. Today, we're getting prepped to make sure that we really are ready to receive Christ the King. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive King. You picked up my shtick, didn't you? King, He is King. We sing about it, but seldom, it seems, do we pause to say, this King means business. He's poured Himself out to us. 28 days from now, we'll be gathered in the evening and singing one of the verses to Silent Night. It's not the first one, but it goes like this. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend Thy light with the angels, with the angels, let us sing. Hallelujah to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Mary held in her arms the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit holds you in His arms, and the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings, has come to reside in your heart, in your mind. That means that we take on evidence that we are citizens of this King's kingdom. This week, I found a wonderful video. We're going to give it a whirl here, see if it works. On YouTube, it's by a Roman Catholic brother who reflects on the kingship of Jesus, and I thought it was a great teaching tool, so we'll see how great the computer thinks it is. Dennis, will you give it a whirl and see if that works? That video?
Christ the King, we trust in You. One, two. One, two. Jesus Christ is a King The Jews weren't waiting for some hippie to come along or somebody who'd be their buddy or homeboy. They were waiting for a king to come and rule the nations and establish peace and justice on the earth. When he was born, the three magi, the wise men, came looking for him. They were looking for the king of the Jews. When he stood before Pontius Pilate, he said, "You're right in saying I'm a king." When he started his ministry, he announced the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He talked about the final judgment where he would sit over the world, over all the nations, and judge them as king. When he hung on the cross, king of the Jews hung over his head. And the good thief next to him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "I promise you, today you'll be with me in paradise." But this wasn't like any other king. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a manger. He lived his whole life in poverty. Instead of trying to acquire more and more wealth and power, he renounced it every chance that he got. He didn't wear a crown of gold. He wore a crown made of thorns. He was lifted high above the world, but it was on a cross, blessing and forgiving those who killed him. But make no mistake about it, he is a king. And a king has a kingdom, and a kingdom has boundaries. He invites us to accept his reign over our minds and hearts and wills and lives. See, having a king means you're not the king. I'm not the king. It means we don't do religion on our terms, but on his. We can't be cafeteria Catholics picking and choosing the doctrines that we follow, picking and choosing our commandments that we want, chucking out the rest. We don't set the terms of our faith. We receive it. Jesus Christ is the king. The fact that he's a king means he reigns over our hearts and minds, which means that our faith has implications in our lives that stretch way beyond what happens in church on the pew every Sunday. The fact that he's my king means I'm called to serve. He washed his apostles' feet, and he told them, "You call me Lord and Master. Look what I'm doing. If you call me Lord and Master, this is how you're supposed to serve other people." Look, I know it might be scary, this whole idea of having a king. In fact, kingdoms of this world have gone out of style because a lot of kings have violated people's freedom in establishing their kingdoms and their power. But Jesus is unlike any other king. He's a king who guarantees our freedom. Here's a king who makes us free from sin, free from self-centeredness, free even from death, free from the reign of this world. This is a king who invites us not just to be subjects, but who raises us up and makes us heirs, heirs of far more than kingdoms of brick and mortar. Jesus Christ is a king. Is he your king?
Near the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus offers this image of the king from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. May our ears and our hearts be open to the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats he will place at his left hand. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? When was it we saw you sick or in prison and we visited with you?' The king will answer, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of those who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared by the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you never visited me. Then they also will answer, Lord, wait a second. That's sort of what I think they're saying. Lord, wait a second. Wait, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger, or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me either. And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. It's a hard passage. It's hard for we Protestants because we made a name for ourselves protesting against the Roman Catholic Church's abuses of works righteousness. And we stake the claim in Scripture that we are saved by faith because of God's grace. We're saved by faith. Now, forget the fact that many of us Protestants turn our faith act into a works righteousness. Well, I believe, therefore I'm in. You know, we actually make that a works righteousness too. This is a tough passage because Jesus the King is saying, yeah, you are saved by grace and your faith participation. But in this final judgment passage, he makes it clear that the eternal inheritance of life ever after in the kingdom of Christ is tied to whether or not we have taken on the benevolence of the King. Amen. He has poured it all out for us. We stake a claim and say, His amazing grace has forgiven me. He has saved me. God came to me in my brokenness and my lostness, in my ignorance and my rebellion, and He's made me His. But He's made me His and made you His for a purpose, and that is not just to consume His benevolence, but to convey it. Thy kingdom come. This is a tough passage. Saved by grace doesn't excuse us from the responsibility of citizenship in His kingdom. Think about our citizenship as citizens of the United States of America. I went to school in a day and an age when we had a course called a civics class, where they taught us how to be good citizens. But we, many of us in that day and age, were raised in households where you were taught to be good citizens too, right? Okay, so what evidences a good citizen? What does a good citizen of the United States of America, what does a good citizen do? Vote. Vote. So in the last election, voter participation was what, about 17% or something like that? All this Pride in America stuff, it seems like we're not participating in America. Vote. What else do good citizens do?
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Stand for the, I figured somebody would try to put this in here, huh? You just want to coax me into this NFL thing, don't you, David? Yeah. Okay, there's certain things you do. Patriotism, right? Evidence of what else does a good citizen do? Wow, a multitude. What are they?
Pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes. What else?
Obey the law.
Volunteer. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one, that we're in this together, that when we pay attention to the larger landscape, what is that? You know, all boats rise to the same level. We're one of many. We're in this together. This is a grand experiment. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is a grand experiment. The common weal, W-E-A-L, the common good is part of our heritage. obey the law, pay taxes. Pay taxes? You mean it's not good to like hide our income and maybe park it offshore so we don't have to pay taxes? That's actually unpatriotic, you know, because we're in it together. And by doing that, you're impacting others in the together negatively. See, there's citizenship responsibilities as people of the nation. I oftentimes say I'm a proud citizen of the United States of America. But even more so, I am a grateful and proud citizen of Christ's kingdom. Amen. This nation, as great as its heritage is and hopefully as its future can be, is but for a time and a season. You do know that, right? But of God's kingdom, there is no end. That is our primary citizenship, our primary identity. And Jesus in this passage gives us some criteria of what kingdom citizenship looks like, should look like. Did you notice in that passage that some who didn't even know they were on God's side find out that they've been on God's side all along? When did we feed you, Jesus? When did we clothe you? When did we welcome you when you were a stranger? When did we do that? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to anyone that was in that circumstance, you were doing it to me. The common weal, e pluribus unum, one in Christ, one in this King, means it affects how we interact with one another. And did you notice that some who were convinced they knew Jesus and they were with Jesus, they discovered in a big moment that they were out. They were a goat. They were condemned in the final judgment. Their citizenship didn't reflect the King and his benevolence poured out to them. And they're like, oh, wait a second, Jesus. When was it we saw you hungry or naked or a stranger or sick? When? And he said, inasmuch as you didn't do it to those who were in that state, you didn't do it to me. Remember this Christ the King that we're about to sing about and is coming? Was born a little baby. Vulnerable. He had to be cared for, didn't he? Sacrificially taken care of. He was born in vulnerability to meet us in our brokenness that we might be resurrected. This King builds a kingdom where citizens take on the flavor of the King. Howard Bosley, a noted preacher of the last century, says of this passage, he says there's three important teaching points to note. The first is, this passage is proclaiming that God is good and wants us to live in a right way. That God is not neutral when it comes to how we treat one another. You hear that, church? God is not neutral when it comes to how we talk about and treat and interact with one another. There's no neutrality with God. There's a winner side and there's a loser side in His kingdom. Those who embrace people that are vulnerable and in need do what the King did with us. God is not neutral. The second teaching Bosley says from this passage is, God is not an absentee king. You know, throughout the history of the world, many in leadership positions separate themselves from the masses. God himself in Jesus gets off the throne and comes in the mass and in the mess that is our world. He walks with me. He talks with me. He empathizes. He washes our feet. He pours himself out for us. This is a king who cares. This is a king that would give up his own life that someone in his kingdom might have life. No action is too small for this God to miss. And no action is too large to trick him. We can't do enough works righteousness to deceive him if our hearts are not right. This God, this king, observes and judges our citizenship. He won't accept 17%. This Advent season, could this be a season for you and me to welcome Jesus who comes out of the throne room of heaven and says, I'm coming in your heart to rearrange your life and then also to recreate new life in the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The third aspect of teaching, the first is God is not neutral on how we behave with one another. The second is God is not an absentee king, he's present. The third is God is a king, benevolent as he is. He judges. He judges. The pastor doesn't judge. The people of Christ don't judge. We can make judgments, but we do not judge who's in and out. Indeed, take a warning from this passage. If you're pretty convinced you're in, the ones that thought they were in here discovered, oops. They were waiting for Jesus to say, never mind, I was just kidding. But he's not. The principle of judgment comes in this parable, and that principle of judgment is based firmly in love and care and benevolence for God's people. Amen. Do you believe that the gospel says, for God so loved the world, he gave? Does God love you? Do you accept Jesus' grace and forgiveness? Citizen of the kingdom, he says, if you receive it, you better convey it. You can't just consume it. What's that mean for your workplace? What's that mean, bless you, what's that mean in your family system, your neighborhood? What's that mean in your school? There's opportunities all around to adhere to these standards of the kingdom. And remember, Jesus said it, I didn't. They're clear. When I was hungry. How do we treat the hungry? This is about how we use our resources. If we're just storing it up while people are hungry, yeah, we can get into all the arguments, all the politicized things of, well, some people are hungry because they're too lazy to work. And well, we feed. As many people are not too lazy to work that are hungry. We feed and we care about someone else's physical health, because if someone's physical health isn't being cared for, it's hard for their spiritual health to have an ear. How do we treat those that are thirsting for clean water? Anyone, I'm sort of proud of this. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. They are the anointed team of God, because why else would God make grass and trees green, you know? No, I'm just kidding. I don't want a Dallas Cowboy fan saying, well, why is the sky blue, you know? We don't want to go there. I'm preaching false gospel there, okay? But there's a player on the Eagles. His name is Chris Long. Anyone know about him? He's Howie Long's son. Howie Long is the Fox hoax, former Oakland Raider player. Chris Long signed a one-year contract with the Eagles this year and promptly said, I'm donating my entire paycheck, the entire year's paycheck, to those in need. He said, how much isn't enough? He's already made millions, and he's been a wise steward of that. He said, I'm donating every check. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, we can argue all about the flag standing and the U.S. citizenship which I'm not taking away that argument in any stretch. But now there's a citizenship representation of the kingdom, isn't it? He inventoried what he had, and he said, you know, how much is enough? How much is too much? And he founded, in addition to many organizations he's giving to, he founded a ministry in Tanzania that's providing clean wells, safe drinking water. Meanwhile, over the last 2 weeks in the United States, I'm reading about an algae that's forming in the northern lakes. Some of it because of the warmer climate, much of it because of things that we're dumping into ground and water systems, and less controls going on, supervision over top of it. And it's forming this dangerous algae. Has anyone read about this? There's a fisherman just about 2 weeks ago in Lake Erie was fishing, steelhead fishing, and drew his line through one of these giant algae things, went home, and touching the line, the toxicity invaded his body, shut down his system's ability to perspire, and he almost died, a rather young man, healthy man. And they eventually discovered his body was poisoned. They discovered it was related to this algae. It's contaminating drinking water. You see, being a citizen of the kingdom doesn't just mean we're dealing with the person right in front of us. It means we're dealing with systems. So we should be concerned about safe, clean water. And that means our citizenship should have voice and action that follows that, that demands that there be sufficient care and control over chemicals and water and land pollution. How have you welcomed Jesus? Who are the strangers in your midst? How do you clothe the needy? How do we take care of the sick? How do we visit them and those in prison? Now, you can look at those, and any one of those might be like, oh, prison ministry. I have to tell you, I've visited quite a few prisons over the years, high-end security, and the chill going up and down my spine never stops when I go in there and all these gates are behind me, and nobody's smiling when they're checking out, emptying my pockets and everything to go visit. It's intimidating to me. It's not the comfort zone for me. I'm not called to prison chaplaincy. It doesn't mean you have to be in a prison to be involved in prison caring for the prisoner. It might mean someone that's released from prison and assisting in rehabilitation and supporting ministries like that. It might mean the prisoner that's not even behind bars. It might be someone imprisoned in their own hurt and a hurt person hurting other people. Jesus has given us marching orders as we go into Advent. Oh, Christ the Savior is born. He is King. Hark the herald angels sing. Joy to the world. Let's receive that King. And this King looks at us on Christ the King Sunday and says, I've come off my throne. I've come out of the throne room. I've come out of the heaven's castle. I've come down to earth. And I've conveyed to you salvation. And the day will come where you will stand before me too, and he's going to say, how have you treated those that were made in my image, that I desired to know the fullness of my kingdom? I'm not making it up, church. It's right there in Matthew 25. We are saved by grace through faith, for good works in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of Christ has come. And I'm a grateful citizen of that kingdom. Are you? So is Chris Long. Go Eagles. But go even more, people who evidence that radical citizenship, because it challenges me to change my clutching to the freeing gifts of our Heavenly Father. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us always a grace-filled word, but it's a difficult word. We thank you for people like Chris Long and many, many, many countless others like him who aren't near as prominent in profile or publicity, aren't near as wealthy and receiving big checks, but they got a widow's mite. Lord, help the hearers here to hear that this is not a manipulative message to get people to give their money. This is a heart cry from the Savior speaking to us about the kingdom. You are mighty to save. Save our souls and free us for joyful obedience this Advent season and always. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to rise as able and let us sing of God's mighty salvation gift.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. To save, he is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You are mighty to save.